Hello, and welcome to Worship from the West Highland Peninsulas. Autumn is beginning to make its presence known here. The stags are roaring on the hills, the colours are changing, the leaves are twirling in the breeze. And here in Aharicle it is a wee bit breezy and rather wet, which is why I'm filming inside today and not outside. Our call to worship, words from the prophet Isaiah. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let us praise our God, whose splendour is above the earth and the heavens.
Now let us pray. In the beginning, when the universe was no more than a twinkle in your eye, Creator God, there was a great explosion of potential and something entirely new began to happen. In the beginning was the Word, your Word, of permission and encouragement for that which was not you to start to be. And you looked on proudly in all that would happen next. In the beginning was the life-giving breath of your spirit, enabling everything from the tiniest microbe to the largest dinosaur to have a life of its own, to struggle for survival, and to adapt in ingenious ways to claim its place. And there, somewhere at the end of the line, are human beings, your finest achievement and the most dangerous threat to all that you had planned and hoped for. Sometimes we forget that we are mortal and need to be put in our place, reminded just how small we are and how powerless. Sometimes we forget that we were made in your image, creative and inventive, with the ability to love new life into being. We need to be enabled to claim our strength and to use our power wisely and well. Forgive us, gracious God, if we have tried to take your place or failed to take our own. Enable us to work with you, not against you, in the great project to which in Christ we have been called, to renew the whole creation. So may we share with you in the joy of seeing beauty restored, hope reignited, justice established, and lives redeemed through the power of your Spirit, and to the glory of your name. Our prayers, our worship, our love, we offer to you, our God.
Our reading today is taken from Job, chapter 38, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" And continuing at verse 34, "Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, 'Here we are'? Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in a thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for lack of food?" Amen. Thanks be to God.
At one level, the reading that we've just heard seems to be about God well and truly putting Job in his place. God's speech stretches over four chapters, talking of the many of the wonders that God has created. And yes, God does repeatedly point out how little Job really knows, how little Job is able to do compared with God. But I find this reading rather reassuring. Not that I think I would be any more successful than Job in answering the questions that God poses, but it reminds me, as it reminded Job, that God is great and wondrous beyond our understanding. The God who created the universe with its myriad galaxies, who created our solar system and our planet, is powerful and wise beyond our capacity to grasp. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? God was there when the ancient rocks of Loch Arbour were laid down 450 million years ago. He was there when the volcanoes spewed out lava in these peninsulas as Europe and Greenland drifted apart 50 to 60 million years ago. He was there when Morven, Sunart, Ardnamurchan and Argower were an island when the sea levels rose at the end of the last ice age, about 11,500 years ago. The all-powerful God was there then, and he is here now. I find this reassuring. I also find it reassuring to be reminded that it's all right not to understand everything. It's all right to realise that I can't control everything. The lovely Serenity Prayer comes to mind, and is probably one that I should pray more often. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Many today seem to have an inflated idea of man's own ability to control his life and his world, that science and technology provide everything we need. Yes, we do seem able to control more of our lives than previous generations could. We have electric lighting, so our waking hours aren't determined by the length of daylight. We can communicate in many ways without having to walk miles, possibly in inclement weather, to see someone. Our food is no longer solely dependent on what is currently growing locally or has been stored. Many have comfortable ways of travelling, not just on foot. But the idea that we totally control our lives is a fallacy. It doesn't take anything as drastic as a natural disaster to confirm this. When technology crashes, Facebook and Instagram go down for hours. Mobile phone networks or broadband go down for days. Power cuts occur. Then there is major disruption for many. Science and technology are valuable gifts, but they do not provide us with total control. When we give up the idea of being in control, fighting to retain control, we can take time to pause, to stop, to look around us, to look at the scenery, to look at the wildlife, to look at the people. Looking around at the world reminds us that we are part of something much bigger. A small part of something much bigger. We can feel dwarfed by the hills and mountains, by the power of the mighty waves. Standing and looking at the night sky brings a realization of how tiny we are. Not that we should be frightened, but rather ponder in awe our God who made the vastness of space. Our God who is far greater and beyond all we can see and imagine. And perhaps experience even more awe and wonder when we realize that we may be small, but we are not insignificant. For God wants to be friends with each one of us little beings, in this part of the Highlands, or wherever you are, in this little country, on this little planet, in this little solar system, in this little galaxy. God is interested in all that he has created and delights in all that he has created. Nothing is insignificant. Our reading told us that there was joy and singing as God created. The morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. We rightly begin our worship with adoration, praising and acknowledging the greatness of God. This great and wondrous God watched Job and listened to what he said, and then granted the request for a meeting. A request which was none too polite at times, which, considering all that Job had endured, may not be surprising. The Maker of all was willing to meet with Job, with a single, small human being, but not insignificant in God's eyes. This same great and wondrous God, who is above and beyond all, is also close at hand. He watches us, listens to us, is ever willing to converse with us, whatever our language, our emotions, excitement, joy, anger, despair, bewilderment. We can come as we are, in the state we're in, as Job did. God knows what's in our hearts. There's no need to dress up what we want to say in fancy language. We can just be honest with God. He can take it. He understands. The story of Job is set nearly 2,000 years before Jesus' earthly life, and probably written down a few hundred years before that earthly life. We have one great advantage over Job in that we know about Jesus' earthly life, that our awesome, all-powerful God, creator of all, wanting a relationship with each one of his children, God holy, immortal, eternal beyond our understanding, chose to reveal something of himself in a way that as humans we could grasp. Centuries after the book of Job was written down, God the Son came to earth, came in human flesh, became incarnate. He grew up and lived alongside us. The eternal, all-powerful, laid aside his power and glory to take flesh and grow in a human womb, to be born as a helpless baby, totally dependent on Mary and Joseph. He grew up through the years of childhood and teenage years and remained subject to Mary and Joseph. He worked in the family business in Nazareth, and when he was about 30, he started his ministry, his heavenly Father's business. Jesus knows all the ins and outs of earthly life. He's been there. He understands the ups and downs, the joys and the pains. Somehow, we need to hold together in our minds the awesome, all-powerful, beyond everything God, and the God who walked dusty roads, probably with calluses and blisters on his feet. The God who shared picnics, told stories, joined in celebrations, probably singing and dancing. The God who moves in a mysterious way is also the God who is a friend and brother. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God ever with us. Amen.
Lord, we come together as your people have done ever since you gave the commandment through Moses in the desert. You created us, and you created the times and the seasons. We thank you for giving us this day to rest from our daily work and cares, and to dedicate this time to you. We thank you for all that you have given us, for sustaining our lives, for caring for those around us, and all that brings joy into our lives. We thank you for coming among us to share our lives, to help us to grow in your likeness, to guide us through death into unending life. And we thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit to comfort us and inspire us. We thank you for your Holy Church, which has been a sign of your presence in the world at various times and in various places, so that people would say, "See how those Christians love one another." And we pray that we may be that same sign in the world today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this church, this digital congregation, wherever we may be, and for the worshipping communities we are part of. May the word we hear lead us forward. May your Spirit open our hearts. May we be the beginnings of a new flourishing of the Universal Church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your world, Lord. You created it and us in love and commanded us to care for it. All that you have done is good, for you alone do all things well. If we have done some things less well, fill us with hope in your promises and love of your will. We long for a world where people will respect each other as your children and share all your gifts with care. We commend to your goodness the preparations for the COP26 summit. May our lives be so guided by you that the world may come to know the peace that is beyond all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our local communities, for the people among whom we live, and for those we meet in our work. For all who provide for our needs, the supply chain which seems so fragile all of a sudden, for those who support our essential services, health professionals and carers, craftspeople and all whose work is hard and unpleasant. We pray for those who maintain law and order and those who govern. May all work together for the good of the whole community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all who are sick, suffering, or in any kind of distress, for those frightened by the continuing pandemic or confused by the rules, for the many who have suffered loss and mourn, for those facing the end of their earthly life, may they know your love, your power to help them, and the hope of eventual life in your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for those whose lives on earth we have shared and who now rest in their eternal dwelling with you. May they find it a place of light, joy and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In a moment of silence, we bring our thoughts and concerns for ourselves and others before you, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us consider our offerings. Lord, yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendour, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Use these gifts and use us in the service of your kingdom, and to the glory and honour of your name. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Let us go forward into the week, knowing that our God is with us. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, with all whom we love, and with all God's children everywhere. Amen.
Shine upon you.